Alt Down Under. Turn this banger up. Not a pom, judging Aussie tunes. Aussie music, mate. Alternative Down Under. Alternative Down Under.
Luke's back with another episode. Sorry, guys. I'm just very excited. It is Oasis Week here in Australia, and I could not be happier. I have been waiting for roughly a year. I think it was genuinely a year ago I bought my ticket to go and see Oasis. I've seen Liam play live. I've seen Noel play live. Both very good in their own right, but we've been missing that magic, haven't we? The Gallagher brothers up on stage together, doing what they do best, old school rock and roll. Just 90s anthems, man. I cannot wait. Oh, I'm absolutely buzzing. It's going to be so much fun. Got a load of pals coming around for a few bevs beforehand. Getting down to Marvel on the Saturday here in Melbourne. And just, oh man, I've actually got goosebumps, like, just thinking about how good that is going to be. And if any of the footage is to go by from the gigs that they've played so far, man, we are in for one hell of a treat. And it just seemed like they had to keep adding dates as well. They had to do the same back in the UK, just adding dates on at Wembley Stadium in London. They've had to do the same here in Melbourne as well. And just, I swear everyone I know is going, it's going to be so fucking good. Just, oh, bring it on. There's nothing better, is there, when you have those artists that you just want to see for years and years and years, and then the time finally comes around, and oh man, it just feels like magic. And I just, music and the memories that we have linked to it, it's just gonna be so good, man. I just remember being like 16 17, and just that was like probably the peak of my Oasis love affair, and just like loved watching clips of Liam Gallagher just being a dick. Because let's be real, he is a dick, but he's so fucking funny with it as well. So I think that's the real joy of watching any interviews with them. It's just pure magic. And man, bring it on.
Alternative Down Under.
Anyway, had to get that little excited ramble out of the bloody way. In this episode then, episode 28 of Alt Down Under, coming thick and fast, like, we have a chat with a band that have been part of my Australian music journey ever since I arrived on these shores back in early 2023, and that is the Fantastical Dust. I'll be catching up with Liam Smith. I had a chat with him, the bassist of the band, just before they dropped their new album, Sky Is Falling. And holy shite, what an album that is. I've been following these guys for a few years now, and it just makes me so happy that they've got this album out there and they've put together an unreal collection of songs. In the chat, we'll be discussing how this sound has evolved, how they've grown as a band as well, how they've got that confidence, really putting legwork in, doing hours and hours up and down the East Coast, crashing on mate sofas, staying with family, doing what they can do to get by, and playing to crowds up and down the East Coast and all over Australia. And it's just great, isn't it, when a band really delivers on the promise that they first have. When you first listen to them and you go, oh, I really hope this band makes it and produces some really good records. And that is exactly what they have done. So that chat with Liam coming up very, very shortly.
Alternative Down Under.
All right. As with the last episode, I wanted to just go through a few tunes that I've been listening to recently that I've been really enjoying. Okay, first up, we have an absolute banger of a tune. This is from a Melbourne-based producer, DJ Silver Dagger, and this track, Not Forgetting. It's just, when I first heard this, I was instantly thinking of early LCD sound system, and just, oh, just such a beautiful tune to sink your teeth into, and genuinely is one of those songs, the more you listen, the better it gets. You notice new things on every listen. Beautiful. And another brilliant Aussie artist, Jess Reese, man. Oh, I've recently discovered Jess, and her catalogue of songs already is so well made and well developed, and just, oh, beautiful lashings of like soft 80s inspired synth, and particularly on this one, the new track, Do It Again.
Then maybe we can talk about that. I got this feeling that something's right. Just at the time I wanted to give it up. Ooh, there was something missing.
Is that not just a massage on the ears, man? Oh, beautiful stuff from Jess. And another tune of hers that I really do like is one called Touch. Go and get involved with that right now. And finally, a band from my homeland that go by the name of World News. Their most recent tune, Everything Is Coming Up Roses, landed just last month, but have a listen to this. The guitar in this, man, sensational. That is Don't Want to Know by World News. Oh, man, I'm just like getting Johnny Marr in there. It's just great to hear, man. I just love it. It's just such a big sound as well. And that guitar-led, raw, joyous indie rock. It's just, yes, get it in my veins. It's my bread and butter, brother.
Alternative Down Under.
All right, let's get into this episode's interview then. As I mentioned at the top of the show, they've just released their new album, Sky Is Falling. And wow, what a listen it is. Here's my chat with Liam Smith, bassist for Dust. Liam from Dust, welcome to Alt Down Under. How are we, mate?
I'm very good, thank you. Thanks for having me, Luke.
Absolutely no trouble. It's quite weird, just before we got into the chat there, you were telling me what's been going on in your personal life.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's quite weird how things align, I always find, because where you're currently at, moving back to your parents, I left my parents' house to move to Australia, and that's when I discovered you guys as a band. So it's all a bit weird.
True, there you go, full circle moment.
If I may, I want to go back to that 2023 period. We'll obviously come on to the exciting news. That is the new album for you guys. But yeah, man, I think I'd moved out February 2023. Yep. And I was very much, I had the idea of starting this podcast in the back of my head. And I was like, right, I need to suss who's in the indie alternative post-punk space. And you guys were one of the first bands that I came across. So I have to say thank you for soundtracking the very early part of my time in Australia.
Oh, my absolute pleasure. Well, thanks for thanks for listening. Do you know what song, or like, was it the EP or?
Yeah, well, specifically Ward 52 and Joy Guilt, and then probably The Gutter as well, were like the three main ones. But I actually there was a day about 2 months in, I think, to me living out here, maybe 3 months. It was a really weird, like, bittersweet day for me, because I came to see you guys play at the Cherry Bar in Melbourne.
And
great gig. Like, by the way, deafeningly loud. I don't know if that's just you guys live, or it's just that venue. Because I've actually not been to another gig there.
It's a little bit of a mix of both, I think.
So I had that. I was on a real high, and then I'm a Manchester United fan, and then we lost the FA Cup final that day. So I was in a bit of a weird. I was really up here.
Pretty like bittersweet. Then.
I was really up here having a great time. I'd had a few beers watching you guys, and about 2 hours later, I was like, "Fuck's sake! What is life, man? What is life?"
Yeah, the highs and lows, eh?
On a musical level, and for you personally, back then, because I know you guys have been around for a little while, you're formed kind of within the shadows and the mist that was COVID. So tell us a bit about how you guys came together, because I know that you have known each other and been in each other's lives for quite a long time.
I guess, like, yeah, we are a COVID band. We kind of like joke about it because it is a bit of a funny, you know, thing to be set into. But like, the singer with curly hair, Justin, and I went to preschool together. So we grew up in Maitland with the saxophonist Adam, and we all went to high school together. And then Justin moved to Newcastle and started going to school there. And that's when he met Gabe and Kai. And they were already kind of jamming. And then Justin said, I've got these two half-wit mates in Maitland that would also like to do some music. So we joined, and then the kind of rest was history. Like, we recorded like two singles that are probably like deep on SoundCloud or deep on Bandcamp or something like that now.
Yeah. On the dark web somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we kind of did a couple of shows just in Newcastle. We did a little run just before like the big lockdown in Australia. Like, we were meant to go to Sydney like one day, and they locked Sydney down like on that day. It was like 12 o'clock that night, so we couldn't go. But we're able to kind of do Brisbane and Melbourne, and we played at the local pub in Maitland, which is the Junkyard, which is a great pub, shout outs. And then the rest was just, the rest is kind of history, I guess. Like, we did the EP, and then we just were very lucky. We got snagged up by a couple of people, and then just like toured so much like for a couple of years. And then, yeah, finally had some time to write and record some new music for the album.
Unbelievable, man. Yeah, it's nice to hear about those early days and like obviously getting yourself going and getting those live shows together. What is it like? Because I know, sadly, the UK is very similar to Australia in the sense that a lot of grassroots venues are being shut down. But just in the pure sense that the UK is a tiny dot on the map compared to Australia, how is it for a band? You mentioned your local pub there, which is great. You can go and play that. But how is it for an Aussie band, particularly within the kind of indie alternative punk space, and you're trying to get those little inroads into the industry and get known? Is it quite a hard thing for a band to do? Because I know you guys, you've obviously got a big fan base, but is it quite hard to actually set the wheels in motion?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I guess we're kind of blessed that we're along the East Coast. So, like, we are able to drive, like we're able to do the capital cities, you know, like, we're able to do, like, Melbourne, Brisbane, and then Sydney kind of thing. So we're kind of lucky in that sense. But it's just, like, playing, like, nonstop for a really long time. Like, you know, we'd post up in Sydney for 2-3 days and just play every night, and then go to Melbourne and then make our way up to Brisbane and stuff like that. So we're kind of lucky that we're all within like kind of driving distance for those capital cities. But I can imagine for people like who are coming from Perth or like Adelaide, it is quite a lot more of a slog for them. But I mean, it's, you just kind of got to do it, I guess. Like, we were all in the same mindset that we really wanted to give this band a go, and we didn't really want to half-ass it in a way. So it was just like any show opportunity we got, we just took it. And then we're lucky that we're able to kind of go overseas with Hockey Dad. And I guess that was kind of the little break as well, because then Hockey Dad are obviously quite a huge band over here. So
yeah,
I would imagine that a lot of people would be seeing that and going, well, who is this other little band that they're bringing along with them? So we're just really lucky. And it was just kind of time and place as well. Like, we just had a really good team and the right people kind of backing us. And we've just been really, really lucky and just playing a lot and building up the fan base and then slowly building up to bigger shows and stuff like that. Like, you were saying that you went to that Cherry Bar gig. Like, our first Melbourne show was nowhere near like that. We played to maybe 4 or 5 people if we were lucky.
Yeah. Classic. Yeah. Well, mate, you say there obviously is that element of luck involved, but also it helps if you have fucking good songs, which you guys do, which, yeah, honest about. And because I wanted to chat to you, obviously, as I say, we'll come on to the new album in a minute, which is very exciting for me as a fan and probably more so for you being in the band.
Yeah.
But one thing that's always drawn me, particularly that Ward 52 track, and it, I think it's something that kind of perforates a lot of your songs. You seem to traverse this parallel of like quite euphoric songs, but the subject matter is pretty dark a lot of the time. But I think you really kind of capture the realness of life, I think, in your tracks, and a real mix of emotions. Is that something that's always been important to you when putting the songs together?
I guess like with, in regards to like Ward 52, that was that was all Justin. Like, Justin had the song ready to go. He knew like what the structure was going to be, had the bass line, had the topic that he wanted to talk about as well. So it is kind of funny thinking about that. It is such like a, I don't know, it is a, like a really good hitting song, you know, like, and it's one of my faves to play and has been for a really long time. And then you kind of deep dive into the lyrics and you're like, oh, it's a bit dark as well, you know, like it's pretty full on. But I guess it's never really intentional. I guess we kind of write the songs and then Gabe and Justin write the lyrics around how they're feeling and just like little moments through life and stuff like that. But in regards to the EP, like, we had everything kind of ready to go. We knew what the songs were going to be, and Gabe and Justin had things that they've been sitting on for years that they really wanted to talk about and express. So it kind of worked out that we were playing some, you know, nice songs, and then some really deep and meaningful lyrics were on top of it.
Yeah, because even the video for War 52, like, there's smiles all over the place, all over that video. Kermit the Frog makes an appearance at one point.
Yeah, that's my Kermit the Frog puppet, actually.
Was that some sort of weird deal where you were like, if we're going to do this, Kermit needs to be involved?
Well, we kind of, because as you can tell by the video, it was a bit of a throw together. We did have another one that was kind of in the back that we did just after recording. But just the way that it looked and felt, like, it just wasn't really what we're looking for. And particularly like after recording for like a week, like, we had, you know, absolutely slogged it. And then I was like, okay, now for the last day, like, let's get in front of a camera. So it just had a bit of a funny vibe to it. So then we're like, you know, we got a deadline. Everyone came over to like my, Adam and Kai's house. Like, that's our house where it was recorded at, which is a little like 3-bedroom apartment thing in Derby Street in Newcastle, and just above like a Thai restaurant. So all the boys came over and we had a couple of mates just on a camcorder, and we just like ran the song a couple of times and took the piss a little bit, if anything, you know, like, it was just, we're just kind of like, oh, you know, it's just a bunch of like, you know, mates things. And then we're just lucky that Nicola, who edited it, is just like an absolute god at it and made it look so sweet.
So an unreal video.
Yeah, it's a great video. I really like it. But yeah, we do, we did like adding a little bit of that humor side to it as well. It's like, yeah, let's put Kermit in. And, you know, we're all like laying down in the lounge and it's just like absolutely chaos in front of us, and, you know, it was just fun. And then we all hung out and had a beer after, and, you know, didn't really think much of it, and then we put it out on YouTube, you know.
Perfect. To be fair, dust, a couple of Chang beers, a Penang curry and Kermit the Frog sounds like a great night out to me, or a night in, to be honest.
Yeah, it's like dream blunt rotation.
Right then, mate, let's skip to the present day. A big moment for you guys as a band, bringing out the album Sky is Falling, October 10th is coming out. Huge. How are you feeling?
Yeah, really, really good. Just like keen to finally have it out. Like, it's a couple more days now before it comes out, and just, yeah, excited for everyone to hear it. Like, we've been sitting on it for quite a while, and the writing and recording process was quite long as well. A lot of back and forth with mixing and mastering. And then, you know, once we finally had it, it was then talking to labels and stuff like that, and we're lucky that Virgin came and snacked it up for us, and yeah, just excited to have it out, and if anything, kind of play them all live and then move on to the next thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've had a listen through. I've been lucky enough to have a pre-listen, which is amazing. But the three singles,
oh, bless.
The three singles that have come out so far, I think they're quite interesting, particularly the ones that you've chosen to release off the album, because I think Drawbrax is pretty much your quintessential Dust track. Like, that is Dust, I think, in a nutshell. Then you've got Alistair, which I think is more kind of like your chill Dust. And then Restless, I think in that track you really get a sense of where your confidence is building as a band, because it's quite a bit different to what you've released before.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a great, great analogy. And that was kind of what we were trying to do. Like, Drawbacks is that, you know, heavy hitting punk kind of thing that everyone knew us for. And then we kind of wanted to throw a little bit of a, you know, twist it up a little bit with Alistair, because it is more of the, I guess like a poppy kind of side to it, a little bit of an indie side to it. Like, and it was just kind of the music that we were listening to at the moment. And Alistair was a fun one because that was just a full collaborative experience. Like that just kind of came together really quickly when we were writing, and then it just worked out, and it's a really, I think it's a pretty good song. And Restless as well, it was fun to experiment with like the double vocals with Justin and Gabe, and like really show off that moment as well, and their two different styles and everything. And it's like, it's quite a simple song in a way, but the vocals really make it, if anything.
With Restless being quite unquote a simple song, I think in a way that kind of scaling things back, sorry, is more kind of like, because your songs are so big a lot of the time, I think that's kind of more like, yeah, we're pretty happy with what we stand for as a band. Here's a stripped back song. I really like that.
Yeah. I guess like I guess it's simple for me, that song, because it's just that same bass line over and over. So I can't necessarily talk for the rest of the crew, but it's really simple song, but it hits a certain nerve, which is what we're really going for and really tried to achieve in the recording process as well. Like, just keep it as minimal as possible.
On the same kind of level though, I think Aside and In Reverie are two tracks as well that I think really kind of stand for how much progression you've had as a band. They are unbelievable songs, man. Big fan of those two.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, Aside is, we've been sitting on that for a really long time, and that's been like one of my faves, and really looking forward to playing that one live, if anything. And then In Reverie is just a really lovely track, you know, and we had it really like laid down and dialed back. And to be honest, we didn't really know what we were going to do with it for a little while. And then Gabe started like doing his thing over the top of it, and it just came together. And then once we recorded it, and like we kind of recorded it all at night, like we recorded because it was all a very minimal thing. And then when Gabe started like singing and doing the spoken word over the top, it was just, it just made sense for it to kind of finish the album. And I feel like the album is just another intentional thing that we tried to do. Like, we tried to make it all flow really nicely. And obviously it kicks off with Drawbacks, and it's like in your face, and you know, Here We Are. And then it's kind of nice that it kind of slows down. You get to Aside, and you get to Fairy, and then you get to In Reverie as well. Like, it's just kind of, it kind of made sense to do it like that and keep In Reverie in there.
100%, man. And for you as the bassist, mate, when I listened to Just Like Ice, I was like, holy fuck. Hello. That's a bit of a number.
That's a fucking hard song to play. It's okay. Fucking ridiculous.
You basically answered my question already, because I was like, I was intrigued to be like, is that a lot of fun, or is that a bit like, whoa, that's a bit much?
It's a lot of fun now that like I've nailed that bass line, but bloody, like that was a mission. Like, we've been practicing a lot for this like album thing coming up, like the album tour. And there's been a lot of head banging and just trying to hit it every single time. And then obviously like with Justin and Gabe singing as well, like there's like, everyone just has to be so dialed in when we're doing that song, because like one little thing just throws the whole thing out. But it's a really good song. And another thing to like kind of showcase that, you know, we're kind of doing our own little spin on it. And the dual vocals is such a cool idea and something we've been wanting to do for ages, and that like call and response kind of thing. And we really, really achieved it with that.
Absolutely, man. As you mentioned there, you'll be going on tour later on in the year. You're down in Melbourne at the Evelyn in December, which I'm looking forward to coming to.
Yeah.
I've weirdly seen a few clips recently of different artists talking about how they approach gigs. And you mentioning there the focus required on a track like Just Like Ice. Do you guys enjoy a few beers? Because there's a band I won't mention that I bumped into recently who I've previously interviewed, who had a fair amount of beer beforehand. And then they got on stage and it was like they were perfectly sober. And I was like, I don't know how they do that.
Yeah.
Can you handle a couple of beers beforehand, or do you need a clean slate going into it?
Well, at the moment, I haven't, Like, I haven't had anything for almost 3 months. It'll be 3 months tomorrow. Nice. Like at the start, when we were all doing it, we could have a couple of beers, you know, but like we always kind of knew a point. Like it was one or two. It's normally like just to settle the nerves. Like I would always have like one or two just to be like, okay, I'm calm and we're about to do this. But then once we started doing, when we did that Interpol show, like around Australia, then when we went over with them to the UK and Europe, I personally, and a lot of the other boys, like wouldn't drink beforehand just to really experience it and really like kind of dial in a way as well. Cause I also had the thing where it's like, oh, you know, if I drink and then if I muck up, then it's like, oh, it's because I had a drink, you know? So, we try to sell pretty dialed in and lay off the drink. And then, you know, the drinks are for after, you know, like that's for the, you know, post gig high, and you can just chill out and everyone chat about it and just like kind of move on and get ready for the next one, you know?
Absolutely. I think I'd be the same, man. I can't really do much. I mean, I can't play an instrument anyway, let alone after a few beers. So, sorry, one quick one before we move on to the dream gig venue. Let's talk about Sack. Mate, always a big fan of that in your tracks. And I think it should be in more bands that are on the post-punk spectrum. So I know bands like kind of Black Country New Road, they have it in their bands as well. There's a band called Sports Team from the UK that have quite a lot of sax in their tracks as well. But there's one thing, they're coming to Australia soon, Oasis. Yeah. There's quite a famous clip of Liam Gallagher talking about how much he hates saxophones.
He hates it. Yeah, yeah, I don't get it. I actually don't get it. And what's the thing? It's like, oh, why would you have a saxophone when you can just get a trumpet to do it? Or something like that. Like,
yeah, 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 exactly. Like, yeah, or just play a fucking... Or he's like, oh, just get a guitar to make the same noise.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they're two different instruments. And like the sax is like such a big part for our sound and everything, so it's kind of funny that he's so against it, if anything.
Absolutely. But I think in your tracks, like those big euphoric climaxes in some of your tracks that you have, that the sax really drives that, I think.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And like it's intentional as well. Like we kind of want the sax to stand out at some points, and like also with the album, like it's kind of nice that it's just in there, like it's just keeping that rhythm, or you know, it's got that little melody line that he's following or something like that. We just tried to incorporate it for the whole album, and it wasn't necessarily what we did for the EP. So it was nice to then try to mix it up like that and just keep the sax in everything, you know?
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Well, Liam, if ready, we can build your dream gig venue.
Yeah. All right, let's do it.
I'll have 2 pints, please. I love this bed. Get us a couple of frothies, mate. Yeah, boy. Yeah. Where are you going to have your dream gig, mate? The dream gig venue. Step this way.
Liam, let's build your dream gig venue. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
It's good, because you seem pretty chill. As I said to you previously before we started recording the episode, some people were like fully freak out about this, but I reckon you're a pretty cool customer, so that's fine.
Oh, now the pressure's on.
Yeah, yeah. Now I've dialed it up for you. First up, can you please tell me the made-up, ridiculous name you would like to give your venue, please?
Well, the name of the venue, I would really... Well, like, I'd like it to be at the Maitland River, right? Which is, hometown. I want to have it there. And I guess the name of the venue would just be The River. Just simple, nice. Straight to the point. You know, you don't need to muck around with it. And I can like picture where it would be. And like, I think it'd be pretty cool.
A track I hadn't listened to and for ages until the other day, it came on randomly. Down by the River by Neil Young, man. What an absolute tune that is. I hadn't listened.
That is a banger.
And you made me think of it then. I was like, man, what a tune that is. Yeah. I forgot how long it was as well as a song.
It's a long one. Hey, yeah. I didn't listen to much Neil Young in the past, but I started getting into him when I started listening to like Bob Dylan after that Bob Dylan movie came out. Yeah. But like I much prefer Neil Young to Bob. No disrespect to Bob, but Neil's got it, you know.
I reckon I side on Neil's side a little bit more. But next we have the dress code. What is everyone wearing, Lou?
Well, dress code, I would go like all black. Everyone has to wear all black,
nice.
Full gothic style. But I'd also want it to be like a little bit of a mix up of like that Bergenhain entry kind of spec, you know, where it's just like all like black leather chains, like whatever, you know. I reckon that would be kind of sick. And it more amuses me just because of, like, if it was to be like in Maitland, it would really scare a lot of the people in Maitland to be seeing people dressed up like that. So I kind of like that side of it as well.
Yeah, nice. Well, I was going to say, it's quite like, you think of the river as being like quite a peaceful little chill venue, and then there's just people head to toe in chains and leather.
Yeah, yeah. And there's like a dog beach like on the other side. So I just would love to think that, like, you know, people are taking their dogs out for a swim and then they just see chaos on the other side, you know?
Yeah, big fan of that. Big fan of that. Okay, next, can you please tell me what free drink you would like on tap and what free food is everyone having?
Okay, I'm keeping it Maitland as well. So free food, I would have Mustafa's kebabs. that was my first job. And I think I was like 14 and I was like just doing dishes there. But one of the best kebabs out there. And then free drink on tap, I would have to say Tui's Old, because that's my go-to.
Nice, nice. I have to ask, what makes a good kebab in your eyes, Liam?
It's toasted afterwards.
Mm.
So you make the kebab and then you toast it for a long amount of time for the cheese to like fully melt and it's like still really hot.
Okay.
That's my
idea. Yeah, I can get on board with that. Fair enough. Okay, up next, support act, dead or alive, Dust the headlining. Who are you having?
This is one that I was like a little bit stuck on, but I'd probably go with my dad's band, Temple Vision, because I just reckon
that's great.
Why the fuck not?
What a great name for a band, by the way.
Actually, I've got the shirt.
Yes.
The shirt on.
Big up Temple Vision. Love that.
Yeah. Yeah, they haven't played in a very, very long time, but they did a one-off show like in Newcastle with a show that Adam and I like helped put on, and they opened it, and it's pretty crazy. It's just like, I don't even know what it'd be called. It's just like just riffs and screaming, and it's really sick.
Was that a real case of you used to watch your dad as a kid play live and you were like, I want to do that?
No, like not at all. Dad never played live or anything like that.
Really?
Dad just like loved music, like rinsed so much different stuff and like really shoved music down my throat when I was younger. The first time I ever saw him play was probably, he did this, my dad's a teacher, so he like had like a little school band. So he like, they played something, but that was the first time I saw him like play with Temple Vision, you know, like that's his ride or die there, you know, like that was his little baby. So it was sick. It was sick to watch.
Unbelievable, man. Proud moment for the family.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Nice. And finally, can you please tell me who you would like running the front door security?
Running the front door security. I would go The Rock. Let's just put The Rock in there.
I reckon he's the most popular answer by far.
Oh, really? Oh, true. Oh, well, then yeah. I don't want to say
what
that.
What about, mate, how have you not gone for Kermit the Frog?
Oh, true. It's true. I should have said that. Yeah, one of the Muppets would be good. Actually, I'd go Animal. Like, I'd put Animal on the door, I reckon. I reckon that would be pretty fresh.
That's great.
Or I was more thinking like, if it's going to like kick off and they need to like, you know, they need to kick someone out, I need someone with a bit of guts, or someone that can, you know, pull a couple of moves or something like that. Like I need some like crazy.
I can ask Animal.
Yeah, Animal could do it. I need like some crazy like jujitsu guy or something like that, you know. Maybe I get like, Craig Jones to do the, to be on the door actually. He's nice. This insane jiu-jitsu guy, and he likes to party as well, so I reckon he'd be a good addition.
Jiu-jitsu and party, love it.
Yeah, yeah, best nice. Combo.
Well, there you go, Liam, that is the river. Thank you for building it.
No worries, thanks for letting me.
Thank you, mate, and yeah, good luck with the album and the tour. I'm real.
Thanks so much, Luke, yeah, appreciate awesome. It. Well, I'll see you in Melbs. Thank you very much, Luke, thanks for that, that was great, that was awesome.
Alternative Down Under.
Kermit the Frog, kebabs, people wearing chains and black outfits. What an interview that was. Thanks very much, Liam. Appreciate your time there, mate, and cannot wait to come and see Dust play live when you hit the road later on this year. Oh, exciting times for you guys. And yeah, for those listening, I think you can really get a sense of the excitement around the band, within the band, and how they really just want to move forward with these new tracks. And I really liked the thought that went behind this record and how they really thought, okay, cover to cover, the order of the tracks. I know a lot of artists do this, but it really feels like it was a real labor of love for these boys. So absolute kudos to those guys. And Dust, just, I'm so happy that I discovered them early on living out here. And as I said earlier, the way that they've just progressed as a unit and have really taken things in their stride. So excited for them. So do be sure to check out their socials, give them a follow, check out where they're playing near you, and do get along to a Dust show. That is a sentence I never thought I'd say. Dust as a band name. it gets you in all sorts of trouble. That is it for this episode. Thanks ever so much. Coming up for me, Oasis. Fucking come on! In our next episode, an absolutely huge interview with a UK artist who is coming over to these shores, playing a big date at the end of the year / the start of the next one. As a little clue for you, an artist that has been growing and growing and growing and just building up a massive following, and an artist with one of the best personalities. So much so that I didn't actually do that much prep for the interview, and it turned out very well because I knew the conversation would be so good. It's a great chat about music, about life, about moving through and navigating everything that comes your way while still being able to produce quality, quality songs. It's a great chat, and I cannot wait to bring it to you and announce it as well. Looking forward to that. Look out on our Instagram, alt.down.under. Rolls off the tongue, that one, for all the updates on that. In the meantime, take it easy, and I'll catch you real soon.